Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good Monday morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with you this morning. We're looking forward to a whole week of Watchmen radio broadcast here on the Omega Radio Network. We're so glad that we are broadcasting around the world today through the mechanism of the internet and iPhones and iPads and you get it, podcasts. It's all out there. Praise the Lord. And God is using this moment in time to get the voice of many waters to proclaim a clarion call to the nations of the earth. And today we are going to do what God has told us to do. And I hope it is complementary to what God is saying to you in your life. Hopefully there's some witness and confirmation to what you have been thinking. Maybe you've been praying, Lord, what is the truth in all of this? You know, what is the reality of this moment, Father God? There are different voices competing for the attention of the minds of the people in the world, and we refer simply to God's word. We have no word within ourselves, in our own intellect, in our own reasoning or logic, and really no wisdom of our own that we want to project, and that is the absolute truth. Our confidence in what we preach and what we minister comes from our blessing to know the words of God. And we have a lot more to learn, all of us do, but our unique ministry is looking through the biblical lens at the signs of the times and seeing if it all measures out. And there are so many things that we believe are happening, and God is a multifaceted God. I mean, he is not in a box. He's not limited. He's not just a God of judgment and wrath and condemnation. Obviously, he's a God of love, but he's even more than that. He's a God on a journey. Have you ever considered that God is on a journey? He's constantly moving. You cannot stop the flow of God. That universes are not enough for him to inhabit him. He is beyond everything that he has ever created, everything that we think he is, even in the names of God that we understand of Elohim and Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. Even that is a limited understanding of who God is, that created the sun, moon, and stars, and the planets, and the worlds, and the universes. We're going to talk about that today, and I'm excited about where we're going. First of all, I want to begin the broadcast today. Rather than going directly to the news of world events, I want to begin in Psalm 36. Psalm 36, and maybe we're going to get into Psalm 37, because I believe Psalm 37 is a prophetic word for the ecclesia, the church today, but I also believe these rich words. I want to prophesy these over your life. I want you to come into agreement with the Word of God, what I believe He's led us to share with you today. And I'm going to begin in Psalm 36, beginning in verse 6. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. You know what that means? God has unmovable righteousness. His righteousness is not going to be swayed by the prevailing winds of the times in which we live. God has established His righteousness. In other words, what is right from His perspective, regardless of what men say, regardless of what men think. God, His righteousness is established like the mighty and great mountains. And then the psalmist went on to say that your judgments are a great deep, a great deep. You know what I think about when I hear that, that our Lord's judgments are like the great deep. Some people judge things at a surface level. You know, they get one or two facts on something, or they hear something, and they judge by what they hear, they judge by what they see, but they don't have the depth of the Spirit to go deeper beyond what they hear and see into the heart of the matter, and not just the heart at a certain depth. God's judgments issue from the very core or the very foundation of a person's actions or life and what motivates them. You know, a lot of people that look like they're in a lot of trouble, but God sees the heart. He does not judge after the flesh and out of the outer things. So God, His judgments are a great deep, my God. And O Lord, the psalmist said, Thou preservest man and beast. Thank God we're being preserved by our Lord, and even our beast, our little animals, my little Maxie that we have, Patricia and I, here at the house. We praise God that he's been preserved by the Lord. Verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. And I want to declare that over your life today. I want you to know that God's righteousness is an unmovable mountain in your life, and the very righteousness of God is in you. And I want you to know that God's judgments are a great deep, and the depth of his judgment, which is not always a negative thing, he judges to our favor, as a judge will give favor to somebody, and that he preserves you and I and all of those little animals connected to our lives. Verse 7, again, I prophesy over you the excellent loving kindness of our God. How excellent is thy loving kindness? How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God? Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Boy, does that sound like a Psalm 91. They put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Are you putting your trust under the shadow of his wings? Because of that, verse 8 says, they, that's you, beloved, that are tuned in right now to this broadcast with a pure heart. You're seeking the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the truth of God. You shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house. Wow. Abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the Lord's house. You know that there's no lack in God's house. Do you know that everything about the Father's house is fatness? And he says to those who put their trust under the shadow of his wings, they shall be abundantly satisfied. You know, that is a spiritual thirst that has been quenched. That is a spiritual hunger that has been filled. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are those who thirst and hunger, or hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so I declare over your life, brother, I declare over your life, sister, that you will be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the Father's house. And I want you to know that you have been adopted into the Father's house. And in fact, according to the Word of God, you are his house. You are his dwelling place. And you are now living in a season where God is coming to fill up everything that is low, that is lacking, that is dried up. Get ready for an abundant satisfaction, because the Father is not only going to satisfy us with the fatness of his house. Listen to this. And God shall make you drink. God is going to cause you to drink, listen, of the river of his pleasures. Wow, can you imagine drinking of the river of the pleasures of God? Wow, he's going to color your world, saints. I'm telling you, you are in a season right now in the spiritual realm, in your born-again experience, not in what's going on planet Earth. It's drib, it's dry, it's pale. But God, in the spiritual life and the brilliance of his glory and the magnificence of his light and the colors of his universe, I'm telling you, God is about to color your world with the pleasures of his delight, with the river of his pleasures. He's going to make you abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house. You are the king's kids. This has nothing to do with the material, temporary things of this earth. It is an inward spiritual baptism of God's divine glory. Pray right now that you'll receive that. Verse 9, for with you, O God, is the fountain of life. You know, everybody's been looking for the fountain of youth, right? Well, the fountain of life is with the Father, and we know the fountain of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fountain of life, and in your light shall we see light. And Jesus, again, is the light of the world. So in the light of Christ, we shall see light. Hallelujah. Oh, it says in verse 10, continue thy loving kindness unto them. I'm prophesying right now that God will continue his loving kindness unto you that know him. And Lord, continue your righteousness to the upright in heart. Now listen to this. Here's a promise. This is a prophetic promise for right now. Let not, God is not going to let the foot of pride come against you, and he will not let the hand of the wicked remove you. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. The workers of iniquity are fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. The wicked will not rise against the righteous and prevail. I am going to declare this over your life, that regardless how deep the wickedness that is coming out of the pit of hell, whether whatever agency it is, not the greatest depth of evil will be able to stand against you, beloved, because God will not let the foot of pride come against you, and God will not let the hand of the wicked remove you. And God says that the wicked are gonna, that come against you, are gonna fall, and they are not gonna be able to rise ever again. So do not be dismayed at the wicked. Oh, how tempted I am to go on to Psalm 37, because Psalm 37 to me is a prophetic third day and a prophetic seventh day word of God to the ecclesia living in the days in which we are. Third day, seventh day, 37. I love it. Let's go there. I got to do it now. Here's what it says. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, beloved, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There's a lot of prophetic pearls coming. I hope that you're ready to receive on this Monday morning. It says in verse 4, Psalm 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Hallelujah. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, man, what a promise it is. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday, which is not guilty. You are no longer condemned. You are no longer in an opposition or an opposing position against the Lord. Now you're in the place of receiving the judgment of favor upon your life. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Stop laboring in the flesh. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him to fulfill his promises. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Don't be afraid and dismayed over the plots of the wicked. Remember, they're going to come down and they're going to fail. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Get wrath and anger out of your heart. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Don't go doing what's stupid. Don't do what's wrong. Keep on doing what is right. The promise is right before you. The river of God's pleasure is right before you. The fatness of God's house is right before you. So don't go doing anything silly now. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Enough of this. I want a pink Cadillac, a big house. No, your inheritance is much bigger than your own personal well-being. Our inheritance is the earth. You want to rule and reign with God? You want to rule over the earth? You want to rule over cities and kingdoms and nations? Yes, you do, because you're called to be a ruler under the all-ruler, Jesus Christ. So you're going to inherit the earth. Just keep doing what is right. The evildoers are going to be cut out. Yes, they are. Verse 10, for yet a little while the wicked shall not be. Just a little while, saints. Yea, though thou shalt diligently consider his place, it shall not be. Oh, the wicked will rise to great power, but soon they will be no more. And this earth is coming under the control of the righteous elect of God Almighty. Someone shout hallelujah, and you're part of that plan. Verse 11, but the meek, here's the second time, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. God is declaring a season of abundance to you. God is declaring a season of inheritance of the earth. He wants you to raise your vision, get your mind on bigger things than your just own little tiny little speck of life. Oh, God has called you to be a ruler and a reigner with him, saints of God. It's true. Verse 12, the wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth, but the Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Oh, well, the wicked may plot against you. They may gnash upon you with their teeth, but the Lord is laughing at them. All you need to do and all I need to do is keep on keeping on, doing what is right before the Lord. Let God laugh at our enemies and let God deal with them, for their day is coming. Hallelujah. 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Yes, the dragon, the powers of darkness, hate the upright in heart, whose conversation is on the Lord and is ordered of the Lord. Well, verse 15 says, their sword shall enter into their own heart. Their bows shall be broken. Oh, my God, can you imagine? This is like wicked Haman building those gallows for the righteous Mordecai, but he hung on his own gallows. The plans, the plots, I'm declaring it right now over your life. Every weapon that's been formed against you, your enemies are going to have to deal with them themselves. They're going to fall into their own ditch. They're going to be hung on their own gallows. Their swords that they have brought out against you are going to enter into their own heart. Can you receive that today? Make sure you do. Verse 16, a little, come on, this is talking about on this earth, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Hallelujah. You know, if your arms are broken, man, there's nothing to hang on to. God says he's going to do it. Just a little bit that the righteous man has. If you have a house, if you have clothes, if you have food, you got a couple of bucks, I'm telling you, it's plenty for this life. For the life ahead of us is the eternal, blessed, blissed life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Oh, people get caught up on getting an inheritance in this world, and sweet it is for this world. But you notice how quick it goes. Come on. The Lord says to the upright that our inheritance shall be forever. We're not going to let it run dry. God's got something for us that's eternal, folks. They shall not be ashamed. This is you now. Listen carefully. You, I'm going to prophesy it, shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, you shall be satisfied. Come on. Are you getting ready, preparing? For the Lord is doing a great work. Verse 20, but the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. they shall consume, into smoke they shall consume away. Folks, you're not going to be ashamed in the evil time. You're not going to be in drought in the time of famine. You're going to be satisfied. Verse 21, the wicked borrows and pays not again. Listen to me. The wicked borrows and pays not again. I declare a season of debt relief to all of God's children, for the righteous shows mercy and gives. God wants to position us to be givers and not borrowers. And if we have borrowed, we need to pay it back. We need to get out of debt. Everybody, get out of debt. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. It is a debt cancellation season, for God is bringing a river of abundance of every kind to make sure that his people will be positioned. God does not want you saying, oh, I'm going to heaven, therefore I owe the world. No, we're to owe no man nothing but to love one another. All debts must be paid. So stand in agreement with me today that a financial prosperity will come to get God's people out of debt, so that we may live as free men on the earth and look forward to a greater day in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. He said it, there it is the third time. Those that are blessed of the Lord shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, are you blessed of the Lord? Yes, you are. You are the blessed of the Lord. You're going to inherit the earth. You're going to do what is right. You're not going to do what is wrong. You're going to stand waiting patiently for the goodness of the Lord and the promises and the blessings. Now, listen to this. Verse 23, the steps, that means everywhere you go, of a good man, good woman, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Is that a promise for you? Your steps are being ordered of the Lord. And here it is, verse 24. I want to go just a little bit further. I didn't plan on this today, but I can't give it up. Here it is, 24. Though he fall, this is the one that is walking, that God is delighted in. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Hallelujah. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The seed of the Lord does not beg bread. Praise God. He is ever merciful and lends. That's what the righteous do. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Yes, even when he lends, it's seed that he's sowing. And it's blessed. Hallelujah. And the seed of his offspring are blessed. 27. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Hallelujah. Again, depart from evil, saints, and do what is right. Do good. For the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever. You're preserved. God is not going to forsake you as you continue to do what is right, as you continue to do what is good. God is preserving you forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous, verse 29, shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. There it is again. You see, God's talking about eternal things. He's putting things into perspective for you and I. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our homeland is heaven. When this earth, it comes under the power and glory of Jesus Christ, we're going to rule it because heaven's coming on this earth. You watch and see. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. His tongue talks of judgment. Hallelujah. Then 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. See, God's got it under control, folks. Third day, seventh day, a lot of evil is going to be coming out, but God's got precious promises for you and I. And then finally, these last few verses, 34, wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. There it is again, inheritance. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Yes, you see, don't be envious of the wicked when he comes to strength and power, because it's only a moment, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to have it forever. We're going to inherit the earth. We're going to be the rulers of the world with the Lord Jesus forever. Hallelujah. Don't sell your inheritance for a pot of beans like Esau did. Don't give up your birthright just to make it in this world. Just pray the Lord, trust the Lord, work hard, do what you got to do to get the job done and do it before the Lord. Get a job. He'll tell you what to do. He'll show you the way to go. Verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Oh, makes me want to cry. Peace. So many people are longing for peace. Well, that perfect man in heart, perfect woman in heart, you just watch him. You mark that man. You behold the upright, those that do what is right in God's eyes. The end of their day will be peace, regardless of how much controversy they go through to do what is right. Peace will be theirs forever. 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Tell the wicked man to repent. Tell him his days at the end will be forever destroyed. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Hallelujah. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Oh, a time of trouble is coming on the face of the earth. The pressure that is coming, oh, the weakness of men is going to be exposed for what it really is. But God is a strength in the time of trouble for his people, for the righteous. And finally, verse 40, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Can someone shout hallelujah and can someone say, wow, Father, thank you for your prophetic promises that are enduring from generation to all who are upright in heart, to all who are righteous. And these are old covenant promises. Can you believe that we have a better covenant with better promises? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what God has prepared for you and I, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart, but the Spirit of God has revealed some things to us because we have paid attention to his word and his promises. I guess what is being said here today is very simple, that tough times are here, tough times are coming, but God is the God of his people regardless. God is a tribulation insulation. God is making us pressure proof when we put our trust in him and do what is right. Do not expect these blessings when you do what is wrong without confession and repentance. Do not expect the blessings of God if you're doing things in your own strength, if you're taking things into your own hands. Do not expect these promises unless you are walking in the integrity and righteousness that God gave you to walk in. See, God gave you the righteousness of Jesus. And now he says, walk in that righteousness. Do that righteousness. You've got it. It's been transferred to you, right? We all know the scriptures that the righteousness of God has been imputed to us. We have an imputed righteousness. We're not told to walk in our own righteousness. God gave us the righteousness of Jesus. The very righteousness of Jesus has been imputed to you. You've got it. Now walk in it. That's what he says. Don't just say, I've got it, I am it, and then not walk in it. For First John says, be not deceived. He is righteous, doeth righteousness. And so we are righteous according to God's word. That is not a license to be lascivious. That is a release to do what is right and an empowerment to do what is right, like Jesus did what is right, because you have his righteousness in you. Someone shout hallelujah. Praise God. We got to get this right, folks. But I need to move on. I need to get to Hebrews chapter 1. I just absolutely have to spend a few moments. In Hebrews chapter 1, I've been studying, and this is going to be my next series when I'm teaching Bible studies and I'm going about my business. I'm enthralled with the first few verses. I mean, I am magnificently blown away in the glory of God. Blown away in the glory of God. I've been elevated by the wind of the blowing winds into the magnificence of God. With just a few verses, can I share them with you? Here we go. Here we go. Hebrews, we're going to break this up a little bit. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, hallelujah. That's how the whole Bible should begin. God, who at sundry times, which just means at different times, okay? Many different times, many different ways, and in divers manners, in different manners, okay? He spoke in time past unto the fathers, meaning Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He spoke to the fathers in times past by the prophets, King David, all of it, the whole economy of the old covenant, as we call it. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. The writer of Hebrews said in verse 2, has in these last days. Now, the last days began 2,000 years ago. The last days began 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. And the word last there is eschatos. Eschatos. And what it means, it gives the sense of the farthest or the final of place or time. It means the last or the latter end, the uttermost, the outermost, the extreme. So you had at that time 4,000 years. And then 2,000 years ago, the writer of Hebrews said, has in these last days. Now, you know, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. So when Yeshua came, when Jesus came into the world, God spoke to the fathers by his Son. Okay? And so we have the words of God through the Son, whom he has appointed, listen, heir of all things. Listen to this now. So Yeshua has been appointed the heir. Now, remember how much we just read about inheritance, right? Because we know that we are heirs of God in the new covenant. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're sharing his inheritance. They're all ruler. We're sharing in that by becoming rulers and reigners with him. But he is the appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ, according to this scripture, is the heir of everything that God has created. And he made the worlds, the cosmos, the planets, the universes. I'm wanting to elevate our understanding of who Jesus is. In these last days, God spoke to us by his Son, whom God appointed the heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. He made the worlds by Jesus, the Son. Now watch this. In verse 3, who, speaking of Jesus, being the brightness of his glory. So Jesus was the brightness of God's glory. Now, the word brightness there, and you got to get these words in the Greek, are really awesome. This is alpagasma, alpagasma. And that word brightness simply means an off flash, but I love this, effulgence. He was the effulgencing. In other words, the outray that was put on display. Wow. This is referring to reflected brightness of Christ in that he perfectly reflects the majesty of God. And that's where I want to get to here. The majesty of God, the effulgence or the shining forth of a light coming from a luminous body or a vine. You know, this is really strange. It says outrain, and then for some reason in this parentheses, I'm looking at it, it says Vincent. It's probably one of the commentators, but I gotta love that. So here we go. We have the reflected brightness of Christ in that he perfectly reflects the majesty of God. He effulgenced or shined out. That's amazing to me. Is that amazing to you? That is who our Lord is. Now, he has He is the being the brightness of God's glory. God's glory. And Jesus is the express image. What does that mean, to be the express image? Well, it talks about an engraving of character, engraved character. In other words, the very character of God himself was established exactly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the figure stamped, an exact copy, a representation, an express image is what all the definition means, okay? Now imagine this, that Jesus is the express image of the engraved character of God. So God's character was exactly expressed in Jesus, and then we're told we're being conformed into his image? Ha ha! Woo! You and I are getting a engraved character that is the exact character of Jesus Christ, who is the exact character of God himself, which tells us that God is imprinting, he's implanting, he's engraving, he's it talks about all these the tool of a graver, right? God is working, building, creating his character in you and I, his church. His church isn't going to have human character. His church isn't going to be carnal or fleshly. And that's why throughout the generations, those who have given themselves over to the work of God to allow God to do the work without resistance are the ones that are really being built into his house. There's a lot of people calling themselves Christians but have not given themselves over to the work of the Holy Spirit to have that divine nature instilled in them, built in them through the fires and the trials and the testings, right? Because we've been holding back. We haven't been willing to obey God, but those who have, that character is growing in them. Someone's got to shout hallelujah. Now it goes back to Hebrews that Jesus, brightness of God's glory, he's the express image of his person, and he's upholding, Jesus, listen to this, is upholding all things by the word of his power. That means the second law of thermodynamics cannot work against the word of God. What is the second law of thermodynamics? That everything in the created universe is wearing down. And if God was not upholding all things by the word of his power, who is Jesus Christ, all things would cave in and collapse in a moment, ladies and gentlemen. But the universe is being upheld by the word of God, the power of his word, the word of his power. It's all being upheld by God, and Jesus Christ is his word. But then it says that all things are upheld by the word of his power. And when he had, all things are upheld by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sins. Jesus Christ purged our sins. What did he do when he did that? He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh my goodness. No wonder why we believe what we believe. What is this majesty? It's simply mega lusune. Mega lusune. And it just simply means the greatness, the divinity of God himself. Where did Yeshua take his seat? At the right hand of the majesty of God. Wow. Where is Jesus, right? He's at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, when I stop, I just can't help but to just breathe in this life. Folks, we don't serve a dead religion. We're not involved in a dry, dead religion. When we say Jesus is at the right hand of God, we mean it. He is. And he's at the right hand of majesty, the express image of the Father, effulgencing the light, upholding all things by the word of his power. He is the heir of all things. And we are connected to him. We are the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh. He is the head and we are the body of Christ. and his anointing is in us. His light is in us, his effulgencing, and as he effulgence, so shall we. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, see the plan of God. As God was in Christ effulgencing, so Christ is in us, and globally around the world, like the brightness of seven suns, shall come an outray of the glory in a people whose character has come to fruition and in the exact likeness of Jesus Christ. So many people are telling so many people, you'll never be perfect. You'll never be like Jesus. You're always going to be a sinner. Well, I beg to differ. If it were up to me, you're right, but it's not up to me. All I'm doing is submitting to the Holy Spirit so that he could do the work in me. And if God is at work like a sculptor fashioning, I'm not going to deny God his right to do something in me that only he could do. It would be foolish and ridiculous to say that God can't do it in my life. No, it's only my own rebellion, my own stubbornness, my own resistance, my own flesh unwilling to go to the cross is the reality. But if I know that this old life that needs to be crucified is such a stench in the nostrils of God, I run to the cross and say, yes, crucify that old, rotten, humiliated piece of flesh, that carnal antichrist spirit in fallen Adam. Yes, deal with that and put something beautiful, something divine, something everlasting, something rich, something just morally, characteristically, totally of God. Yes, I want it. The flesh cries against it. And you have preachers out there telling people out there, well, your mess is too much of a mess to be turned into a message. So you just have to hold on to what you got, brother. And one day when you die, you'll go to heaven, and then God will do his work. No, if God's not at work in you and I right now, we in trouble. We are in trouble. So I could just go on and on. You say, well, okay, but what's going on in the world? Okay, I'll tell you. Another volcano blew in Guatemala, 25 people killed. Flood swept through Maryland, wiped out an entire little township. Unbelievable flooding. Only God knows what kind of doom is coming in June. We call it June gloom in California because this is the time when you go to the sea and it's all clouded with gray clouds, June gloom. But I think you're going to see some June doom in our country. That's my own personal belief. That is not thus saith the Lord. That just something came into my spirit. Who knows? We've got a big meeting coming up with Kim Jong-un on June 12th. The meeting's back on. Everybody's into the controversy, the drama. It's like watching a soap opera at times. But it has significance, I'm sure, and meaning. But, you know, when I think about all the stuff going on this earth in comparison to what we've just talked about, the things of earth grow strangely dim. Do they not? Do they not grow strangely dim? When we consider that this earth is coming under the control of God and his people, that we're going to inherit this earth. And all we're watching right now in this world is the divine setup and the final purging of the ecclesia, the people of God, the final forging of fire, the final pressure. You know, you can't bring a vessel out of the oven until it's been fully pressurized. I mean, you gotta make it just powerful. That's what the tribulation's for. It's for you and I. It's for you and I. And if we get cleaned up before it, we'll be separated from it. That's all there is to it. But if we have not taken our old life to the cross, we're going into the great tribulation because it's designed by God for us, for him to complete his work in us. He's going to use it for his glory amongst believers who have still remained spots, blemishes, wrinkles, characteristics, flaws. God's not going to have any flaws left in his church. Uh-uh. Whoever's preaching flaw-filled Christianity is a deceiver. I'm sorry. They're not telling the truth. And so this great tribulation is going to cause a tremendous amount of cleansing. I don't know about you. I want to live today in a manner that I would be exempt from that great tribulation. I want to be in the wilderness where the two wings of a great eagle bring the woman into the wilderness, the church, where she's taken care of for 3.5 years. Or I want to be standing on Mount Zion as one of the 144,000. I don't want to be part of the untold multitude that goes into the great tribulation and washes their robes in the blood of the Lamb, because that tribulation worked in them and purged out of them the rebellion and the stubbornness. A breaking. My God, folks, it is a time of absolute utter breaking. And if we haven't submitted to the breaking of the Lord in the discipline of God, if we're still walking like hucky pucks or whatever, man, we're setting ourselves up to go into something, and we need to prepare for it because it is coming. It is coming. But everything that I just read in the Word this morning, I mean, we've got all week to get into the other stuff, right? But God's people need to get a revelation and an epiphany of the glorious God that we have been brought to, our Creator. Our Creator who created us, we are His creation. And He demonstrated His love to bring us back to Him, and through His Son we have come. And He's doing a work in us. It wasn't just a work in Jesus. He has committed His Holy Spirit to do a work in us that we may be His eternal dwelling place, His habitation. My goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Woo! I can't believe it. Man, oh man. Man, I know what it is to feel good in the presence of God for a few moments, but I can't even begin to fathom what this eternal heaven's going to be like. No darkness, nothing to break it up, never ending. Woo! Come on. I mean, I'm sorry. I may sound a little foolish, but I want to shout to eternity, because God, who began a good work in us, is going to complete it. He's going to bring us through, folks. Well, praise God. I'm going to open the telephone lines up, and I've already got a caller calling in, and it's coming from South Dakota. Good morning, South Dakota. How are you doing today? Is everything okay?
Yes, very good. Wow.
Just I'm was so excited, reading, Kathy.
Yes, I was reading my devotions this morning and talk about confirmation again. And it was about in the book of Psalms, in 45 Psalms, and it's about the king, and David is talking about the king's daughter is glorious within, but it's really about bride of Christ. And who is the true bride? And that was a statement that somebody wrote in this here at the end. And anyway, this glorious church that is coming back to what Adam and Eve had in the beginning, that walk with God, that's where we're going. I see this revelation, and I've known it for years, but nobody's ever preached on it. And now we're beginning, it's opening up, and this is great, because the beloved bride of Christ, she will be the chosen ones out of the whole creation. I don't know what else to say, but this is where God is bringing His people that will be willing to go. But there is a price that you pay to come into that place. And it's a working, and like you said, through the tribulation and the persecutions that are now coming in our country, in America, we will come through if we want to be one of the bride of, if we want to be the bride of Christ.
Amen. Kathy, you know what I was thinking while you were talking is that in Hebrews, it talks about how Jesus endured the cross and He looked beyond the cross to the joy that was set before Him. And each one of us are called to carry our cross. That's the price you said. And even though Christ has done it for us, we're called to carry a cross. And when we face hard times or we go through those death processes, it is having a vision, it's having a hope, it's having a promise to look beyond our present sufferings to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And that's in Romans chapter 8, that we have a greater glory that is coming than anything. I mean, the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So that's something we keep out. That beautiful bride that you were talking about, her love for Yeshua, her love for God, her love for Jesus is a love that is not divided. She has no other lover. She has no other affections. She has an inward desire, a bastion of love in her heart to be united ultimately with her bridegroom. And this love compels her to live a particular way that is not like mediocrity, that is not like the average Joe or the world. She has no affection for the world, the flesh, for devils, for the pleasures of this life. She's more than willing to lay everything down to apprehend him. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians that he counted everything he had won in this world as dung that he may apprehend the one who apprehended him. So, yes, it's all about a bride. It's all about a bridegroom. And God is presenting this knowledge that's already been there. But to our generation, I think people have heard so much of what's coming. He wants to put a picture out there for us to keep us in our memory, in our mind, when we do walk through, that we'll have a promise of why we're not going to throw in the towel, why we're not going to wave the white flag and surrender to the powers that be in this world. There's something in us that we have by faith seen, and we're moving towards that and knowing that he is faithful. And at the end of that momentary tribulation, eternal glory is awaiting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. And thank you for the call. God bless you. All right. Well, what we'll do, Kathy was so quiet, maybe she had something to say. I didn't want to cut her off. The lines are open. Do you have a question? Do you have a comment? Anything you'd like to share? 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Are you encouraged on this Monday morning? Have you seen anything? Has your heart been opened to the light? Because when I woke up this morning, I just heard so clearly in my spirit. I don't know if it was my own desire. I just kind of felt this unction. God is going to color our world. We're not just going to see the drab colors of a fallen earth. You know, I go back to Hebrews, for example, and I just found this to be amazing. Just read with me just a few more verses when it talks about Jesus. It says this, I love this, in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance, there's that inheritance again, obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6 says, and again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. So they're talking about Jesus again, his preeminence. Verse 7, and of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. I'm going to be preaching on all this, but I want you to hear these final words. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. Listen, they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. God's going to change the cosmos, folks. He's going to color the universe, but he's going to color your imagination. He's going to color your heart. He's going to color your vision, and he's going to color it with the glory and the excellence and the majesty of who he is. This is a paradigm shift. This is a paradigm shift. And I am so happy. I am so happy that we have these promises. And no man's going to steal our crown. No devil is going to steal our crown. Nothing. The wicked will not stand against the righteous. We read that today. And we are calling. I want you to pray with me right now for a particular call right now in the spirit world. We are calling, as David, as King David called, for the God of the breakthrough to break in upon his enemies. Right now, wherever the enemy has established a stronghold in your life, in your family, in your finances, in your health, in wherever the enemy has established himself, We are now asking God for the breakthrough that where the enemy has dammed things up, where the enemy has blocked things in, where the devil has blocked. We are now asking God, the God of the breakthrough, the God of King David, to break in, to break through, and to break in upon our enemies in the name of Jesus Christ right now, to destroy those strongholds, to break those dams, to bust those blockages right now in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Right now in the name of Jesus, we are in agreement before the throne of God. And the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. And we are coming boldly in the name of Jesus. And we are asking you, God, to break through the block of the enemy, the entrenchment, the establishment of the devil that hold back the blessings and the river of life and the fountain of life and the abundance, Lord, that you have for your people. Right now, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, God, that you're now breaking through and you're breaking in on those strongholds of the enemy. You're busting up all the dams. You're releasing the purpose. All the scaffolding is being taken away now, Lord. And you're releasing the abundance of your blessing, your favor upon the righteous. In Jesus' name, every promise that we read about today, Lord, we establish as our own. I'm going to go to a quick little break, ladies and gentlemen. I've simply run out of time, but I've been so happy to be with you today. I truly have been. And I, as always, want to leave you with a song from my dear friend, Keith Green. And I also want you to know that you need to get ready, because up next, Patricia Joy Xavier with Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And you talk about the God of the breakthrough, breaking in on his enemies, busting up the works of the devil. We have a beautiful God, and we're going to sing this beautiful, beautiful song is coming right now to the body of Christ. And I'm excited to share it with you. Once again, Keith Green. God bless everybody.
Patricia Xavier, pastor, co-pastor with Vincent Xavier, and we are delighted to be back on radio with you. God bless you. It is good what God is ready to do now. He's ready to tear all evil apart from good and make that separation. And folks, I received something quite nice. I've read it before, but it was so much the timing that made this delightful, that I received from Kathy Bruns from South Dakota. And it was exactly what was needed for the moment, led by the Holy Spirit. It is from Paul Harvey. And who is Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey was born in 1918 and was an American radio broadcaster for the ABC radio networks. He broadcast news and comments on weekday mornings and middays and at noon on Saturdays, as well as his famous The Rest of the Story segments. And he was known mostly in the 70s. I remember hearing him as a little girl, and I thought that was incredibly delightful the way most people respected and honored him. Well, the article that I was given from and sent from Catherine is going to be read to you today because it has everything to do with now. It is a pretty incredible article. And as I said, I heard it once before, but now it is the time. It goes in this manner. If I were the devil, claiming what he would do if he were the devil. He's not proclaiming to be the devil, but what he would do. This is a reverse osmosis to get us to understand what the spirit of darkness is all about. If I were the devil. He goes on to say, I mean, if I were the prince of darkness, I would, of course, want to engulf the whole earth in darkness. I would have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I should set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. Now, folks, this was in the 70s, okay? I want you to listen carefully to what he is saying here, because he is literally prophesying. He goes on to say, I would begin with a campaign of whisperers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper, the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what is bad is good, and what is good is square. And square meant in those days, not cool. And today, maybe even something different than that. I'm not aware as I used to be in these areas of these little vernaculars. He goes on to say, in the ears of the young marrieds, I would whisper that work is debasing, and that cocktail parties, and I would add in their drugs, are good for you. Remember, it was written in the 70s. I would caution them not to be extreme in religion, in patriotism, and in moral conduct, and the old. I would teach to pray. I would teach them to say after me, Our Father, which art in Washington, making that their God. If I were the devil, I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. And folks, we have done that through the internet. He goes on to prophesy and say, I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. And then, if I were the devil, I'd get organized. I'd infiltrate unions and urge more loafing and less work because idle hands usually work for me. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction, and I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. My goodness, that's going on. Unbelievable is this written in the 70s. This is amazing. A legendary commentator, Paul Harvey. He goes on to say, if I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects but neglect to discipline emotions. Let those run wild. That's what I would do if I were the devil. I would designate an atheist to front for me before the highest courts in the land. Oh my goodness, that is happening right now. And I would get preachers to say, she's right. The word she, because women would rule. With flattery and promise of power, I could get the courts to rule what I construe as against God and in favor of pornography. And thus, I would evict God from the courthouse, and then from the schoolhouse, and then from the House of Congress, and then in his own churches. I would substitute psychology for religion, and I would defy science, because that way men would become smart enough to create super weapons, but not wise enough to control them. And now what are we seeing? My comment? We're seeing AI, artificial intelligence, from scientists moving stronger and stronger every day. He goes on to say, if I were Satan, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I would take from those who have, and I would give to those who wanted, until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious, and then my police state would force everybody back to work. Then I could separate families, putting children in uniform, women in coal mines, and objectors in slave camps. In other words, if I were Satan, I'd just keep on doing what he's doing. And he went on to sign it this way, Paul Harvey, good day. I ask you, body of Christ, and those who are listening all over the world, is that not phenomenal for exactly what is going on today? Again, it was written by this commentator in the 70s. And so what I want to do at this point is I want to get into my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, that I wrote back a number of years ago in the 90s. And it's still so absolutely right for this moment. And I am thankful that God had me do it. I would also like to have you order my book and encourage you to do so because of the information within the book for how to fight this devil that we had just talked about in this day and age in which we're in. And if you would go to Amazon, you can just purchase my book online. And if you desire in any other way, in what way I would ask you is to help us to reach every nation on this earth. Every nation matters, and the time is short, folks. And Jesus said that before his returns, the good news about the kingdom, the message of salvation would be preached throughout the world and to motivate everyone. And that is what we're doing on Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio Station. And this is another way you can get my book. For a donation of $20, we will send you my book. And this will make you a co-helper in the work that we're doing to get the word of God all over the world. If you're not able to do it by ministry of going to different nations, we can do this together if you would help out financially. My book is called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and it is written to help you break strongholds and the power of the devil in your life that you just heard about. The reviews from my book have been exceptional, and all you need to do is send your gift of $20, and do send it to Pastor Vincent Xavier, P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. And for $20, I will send you my book. And it will be a blessing that we want to offer to you for your gift to help us out. We need your prayers. We need your support. And we thank you so much for what you've already done. You are blessing our ministry, and we are thankful, and we want to encourage you to continue to bless our ministry in every way you can, and God will honor you for doing so. Very few ministries are teaching on how to deliver one from evil spirits. Very few. And this is why it's so essential. And you heard what the devil is up to. but the devil has no legal rights to the Christian. But it is up to the Christian to defend his rights, for which Christ has already paid. And God does offer us deliverance. And the Holy Spirit enlightens Christians of their rights. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ yet as your personal Savior, there is no other way to overcome the works of the evil one. I ask you to truly consider to do so. Lord God, all you need to do is say, Lord God, I desire to be brought to the understanding of the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Save me from the damage and destruction of my own life and that which is coming upon the earth. Show me your way to perfection in Christ Jesus. Show me your way to become the overcomer you called me to be. Show me your way for true salvation that will be eternal. In other words, forever. I will have life forever. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't, to reveal to you whether or not he truly is God Almighty, the Son made to be crucified on earth in Yeshua HaMashiach, in our Lord Jesus Christ. But we now, as believers, have to understand our rights, and so often we don't. We often don't understand what we have been given in victory, and that is deliverance. Deliverance from what I just read to you from Paul Harvey. The Christian's Bill of Rights informs you of your rights as a better believer. And you know, as a believer, you have certain rights, just like the Constitution has spoken to us. And now we want the Constitution to be upheld. Well, we want the Constitution of God's courthouse to be upheld also. And so I want to inform you of your rights as a believer. And I do so in my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, where you can learn how to exercise and fight for your rights. Not in the courthouses of this world. They are tarnished, but we're hoping they're going to be made right. But the courthouse of heaven, where your rights are amiable. Amen and amen. So I'm going to read to you from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I'm starting on page 99 at the last paragraph. And it speaks in this way. In John 15:10, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What is being said here is that we are to keep his commandments, just as Yeshua did, just as Jesus Christ did. He was altogether perfect, and yet he was, because he kept our Heavenly Father's commandments while he was here on earth. And what is his commandment to us? It's really simple. It's really simple. It's to love the Lord your God with your whole heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, love constitutes a number of concepts and ideas that most people really don't understand. So we look at Matthew 22:36-39. It says, in other words, if you truly love with the love of God, you fulfill all the law and all the commandments. And you do for others what you would do for yourself. How do you fulfill the law? How does that work? It means that you would not kill another because of the love of your neighbor. It means that you would not commit adultery because of the love for your husband. But mostly, all of it points toward the love of God that makes it true that you love another. It means that you will no longer lie because you know our Heavenly Father does not want us to. And because we love ourselves, we would not be put in the position to be liars, because we know liars do not go into the kingdom of God according to the word of God. It means that I would not lie to hurt another because I care for another. It means that I would not be deceptive. It means that I would not want to destroy. I would not want to hurt any other person because I would not want to be hurt. I would do unto others as others would do unto me. I would want to do unto others what others would do. I would want to do unto others. And I would do it because that's what I would want done for me. This is the absolute perfect way of God. It is caring for others because I know how much I hurt when someone doesn't care for me. Jesus said in John 8, 28 and 29, I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. I always do what pleases him. This is what Jesus said, and this is what we should say. Keep all of his commandments. Jesus knew the importance of keeping God's commandments. We also need to understand the paramount importance of keeping God's commandments. We should, as Jesus did, ask about each decision we make. We should be led by the Holy Spirit. We should be led by the wisdom of God. If we begin to do this, we will be amazed on how much he will begin to direct our lives into production and perfect love. Oh, well, we cannot be perfect. Yes, we could. Perfect love cast out fear. He called us to perfect love. He said, be perfect as I am perfect. Now, what does the word perfect mean? Does it mean that we go and do everything, put everything together in such a manner and way physically that we're absolutely driving ourselves up a wall? No, it means to be mature. It means to be complete in the word of God, to understand his word so well that we do what we do in the spirit man perfectly. It is for this reason that Jesus was able to walk a sinless life. And it'll be for this reason that you will be able to walk a sinless life. And without sin in our lives, there's no room for Satan to attack us. Always keep in mind that he was mortal man on earth. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He was flesh and blood, just like we are. And he faced all of the same temptations, but he knew how to overcome each and every one of them because he understood the word of God. He understood the promises that God gives. He understood true faith, true love. He was able to walk in it because he believed. We too believe. We are in the latter days, folks, and Satan is bringing forth every enforcement of his host of devils, as was talked about from Paul Harvey. That's exactly what is going on. How much more should we have love in our hearts to fight these evil forces perfectly? To understand that love overcomes all things. And by spiritual warfare, we'll know how to fight. We will have this great discernment and power to know what to do. This is the reason I wrote Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, to teach, to show the way to this perfect life, mature, complete life. The scriptures tell us that he knows his days are numbered. The devil does. This is why drugs and other perversions of every kind are so prevalent today, and it's growing in power, it's growing in darkness, it's growing in destruction, it's growing in deception. the Lord showed me in the spirit that he is starting to close his gate very slowly. Soon it will be shut and no man will be able to enter in. I want you to look at Matthew 25, verse 10, about that very thing. Believe me when I say that in these last days, God is raising up a mighty army to storm the enemy strongholds and free the captives in the mighty name of Jesus. Do you want to be free? He came to set us free. He came to set the captives free. He wants us free of the flesh dominance, meaning our old nature, our old ways that we were. He wants us free from the world's ways and its darkness and its deception, and not to buy a lie. He wants us free of demons and devils that have come through generational bloodline curses from our forefathers, that have come to inundate our soul through our own sinful experiences that we did on earth, in which he forgives us for if we receive him as our personal savior. He wants us free. And I believe that we, as well as others, are being raised up for a time such as this to arm the believers with the word of God, and to allow us by his strength, not our own, his strength, to help lead the way in the final attack on old Satan. Our ministry of deliverance is a fulfillment of prophecy that it was given to my husband and I 5 years before this ministry began. We believe it is a prophecy not just for ourselves, but for the church that is awakening to the sound of the trumpet call of God. I want to read to you this prophecy. Word of prophecy, which was spoken over my husband and I through a man called Kerry Bolt. He was an incredible prophet. And it was in a service on May 16th, 1982, at the Faith Center of Escondido in California. And here's how it read. It read like this. And you, both of you, the Spirit of the Lord would say this unto you, I have called you even as a beautiful candle that would burn on a mantle place at the home, a beautiful home. That happened, folks, exactly as it was said. Our church began in a home and in a beautiful home. The prophecy goes on to say, I have called you as that candle, and you will burn and you will shine. And that means we began to move on radio. We began to move in our ministry, in conferences. It goes on to say, this prophecy goes on to say, and that wax that would melt, that would drip down on the side, is the anointing of God that would spill over unto other people. Yes. And the flame that I have called to burn in you as candles of the Lord will ignite other flames, and it will grow unto a bonfire, saith God, a bonfire of deliverance and salvation. And many things shall happen. The anointing of the evangelist shall rest upon you, even that which is happening in the earth today in a new way. For I am not calling you these things according to traditional concepts, but I am speaking unto you in the concept of what I am doing today. And I have given you a special ability to bring people into the kingdom. And you shall do it even as those in the early church operated from day to day as they went about their business, as they went about their business. Even those miracles of God happen as you go about your business, saith the Lord. Miracles will happen. The business of the kingdom will be transacted into your lives. And many people shall stand and say thank you for your ministry. Thank you for being courageous. Thank you for being obedient. I am basking in the love of God because of you. And this is just the beginning. The candle flame is flickering now, but it shall burst into a large flame and consume the works of the enemy. It shall start in Jerusalem, and it shall burn to Judea and Samaria. And it shall continue to burn, saith the Lord. For I am starting in your home, in your house. And that happened, folks. It happened in our kitchen when it first began. And I will burn away the work of the enemy. And the fire of God is being established in those places. And this instruction for me and my husband was regarding the deliverance ministry and the ministry that we have been called to. After this, we went forth in the United States and we opened many churches. And then as we continued on with our work, we went back to California and we became ministers of other churches in Escondido, Temecula, San Diego. And now we're in Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, where God has called us to be, to bring forth this word. And if you want to be part of what we're doing, please do what I asked. Help us. Because now this word is not just in the United States. When we open churches, when we started on radio, and what we're doing here in Arkansas, this radio program is going throughout the world. And people are giving us their heads up all over the world that they are listening. And this is the way we're reaching souls. Not just telling them to be saved. That's wonderful. But salvation is much more than that. Salvation is deliverance also. Salvation is life, and life more abundantly. Salvation is eternal into everlasting life, where we'll never know the pain and agony which we have been experiencing in this lifetime. And the time is soon coming. The other things that we have to understand is that everyone has known about this soon coming time. It is becoming very obvious to even the occult that the time is at hand. They call it the time of Aquarius. We know what it is. It is the time of the kingdom. The kingdom established on this earth through Yeshua HaMashiach, born and raised in Bethlehem and brought forth for an eternal bliss that we know and understand. And Israel is now facing what it needs to face for the times we're in, because soon and very soon the millennium will start. God's kingdom on earth, it's within us right now, and it'll be continuing to open up to a bonfire of deliverance, and his kingdom has come on earth as it is in heaven. The millennium, the kingdom of God, is now being recognized. He is soon coming. Our Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming. If you wish to get in touch with me, all you need to do is to write or text at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. Patricia Joy Xavier, X-I-E-R, gmail.com. Any question you have, I'll be happy to answer. God bless you. May you begin to understand what we're truly involved with, why things are happening on the earth now as they are. It is prophetic. It's been prophesied in the Old Testament and in the New. The time is at hand, and all nations will hear the call of our great and mighty God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Hallelujah. And God bless you all and all. And one other thing, know that you are loved.